We're gonna do it like this for the next hour, all gospel. It's a Sunday, y'all don't go to church, so we gonna take you to church.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Saint to the Blonde. Before I bring my guest on, I want to talk about the whole T.D. Jakes situation, which was hilarious. Out of all the churchgoers that could gone up there and help him, there's a man in a loud purple suit. Oh, man. Like, purple stands for Masonic in numerology. Its color coding number is 444. If you remember Jay-Z's album, he came out the album called 444. And then he's a Prince or Freemason. I mean, you should know that T.D. Jakes is a Prince or Freemason because they can't stop doing their thumbs in a pyramid when they do photo shoots. But somehow, Black Americans have not figured this out yet. They still sit there and listen to this garbage, this soft, watered-down gospel to make them feel better, still tied to the curses and ignorance of our ancestors when they were forced into Christianity. And you could see it was a setup. He sat back on that chair after making a prayer speech about how he loves preaching. So it made it seem like he was on his way out or something was going to happen to him. I mean, he built it up to that. It wasn't like some random prayer and speech like, oh, let's do it for the Lord. Let's do it for God. And I'm so happy. Like, it wasn't like that. It was more or less, it was very somber. I'm glad I'm preaching. I'm never going to stop preaching. And then the funny, ironic thing is that he starts praying for strength and abundance or whatever he was talking about. Oh, the strength and he got to endure. And then all of a sudden he leaned back shaking. If it was really a stroke or a health emergency, he would have fell off that stool. But they do this just to make you feel sympathy for the devil. Like if you didn't know who Satan was, you just saw him up there on stage and fall down or something, a mishap, you would stop feeling hatred towards him. You're like, oh no. And that's how they fool people. People can't even tell who the angels masquerading in light are. They can't tell who his servants are. Because everything he talks about makes it feel good to the ears. And that's the whole point with religion nowadays. They want their message to make you feel good. So there's no turning from your sin. You see how fast homosexuality creep into the Christian church. They don't stand for it anymore. Just like the Jezebel spirits in the churches now. I saw a meme on TikTok talking about these girls were trying to do a meme or, you know, a skit that they do where they were running into a church. They said, y'all run into the club, but we're running into the church. And then a preacher talks about how there's more hoes in the church than it is in the club. Which is true, because when hoes are tired of hoeing in the club and hoeing on the streets, they go to churches to try to fake find. Or I should say find a fake righteous man. Because they're not truly actively looking for a man to turn their life around, because only Yahuwah can turn your life around. Yahusha can turn your life around by your accountability. Not running from one spot where now you've been used up to try to go into a new spot. That's why a lot of Jezebel spirits go into church. Because they now know playing in the streets too long, you don't have power. Because the man that you try to make submissive under you with your spell, your Jezebel spell, obviously he comes from up under that spell. Eventually he finds his manhood. So they try to dwell in churches now to try to find other men that they can conquer and rule over by absorbing their power. And that's all those Jezebel spirits do. They go into places to absorb masculine power and then pretend that they're holy, pretend that they're righteous. Scripture talks about this. So I'm going to bring my brother on, my Aki. to talk about his struggles, his life, and things that he had to give up in order to seek the Torah, to seek righteousness. And I like having guests on because you can hear a different part of this walk, this struggle. But we all have little stories in each of us that relates to our struggle to everybody else's. So that's why I have guests on this show. So I'm bringing my guest on, and I have him introduce himself.
Yeah, Yahudin, that's the name since I got into this walk. That's what I, you know, been calling myself. From Atlanta, Georgia. Mm-hmm. So it's been a walk. So back in like 2019 is where I really got my awakening. It wasn't a walk to Yah, you know, it wasn't a walk to Yah, but it was just a spiritual awakening. And then I end up finding out about, it was like Yahweh. So I was trying to get into that, but then I was like, something wrong, something missing, you know, so.
And it's funny, it seems like everybody had their awakening in 2018, 2019, which also goes back to the Deuteronomy curse or Genesis 15, 13, and 14, where we would be afflicted 400 years. So it's always interesting to me that people receive their calling around the 400 year mark.
Around last year, last June, July, I had been following you for a minute. Mm-hmm. Then I was like, man, where he getting these scriptures from? I'm seeing Baruch and all this. Like, what is it coming from? Yahuwah. So I found the website was like Yahuwah is the way. Mm-hmm. So once I read that and I came across the Torah, mm-hmm. and that's when it really kicked in for me. That's when it really, you know, like Yah, like answer. So he had been sending me messages and I ain't answered. So this time I picked up the phone like this year. And it was like earlier this year, I was like, this gotta be the way. And it was still a little struggle with it because I was like, all right, let me ask. I tested myself. I tested him. And I was like, yeah, if this is not the way, if this is not your way and it's just mine, show me a sign. And that time, I got locked up. I got arrested for about 7 days. Like I already knew I was like, I'm being here for about 7 days because I asked for it, even though I had started reading the Torah. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I want to make sure, like, that I want to know for sure. Once I was in there for about 7 days, or the few days, the 2 days I was in there, I was just in the cell by myself. I was in the holding cell by myself. And I was praying, you know, I was praying to Yahuwah.
And what were you in for?
I was just in for something stupid. It was a speeding ticket And then they was like, oh, you was in here for the same thing bro was in here for day before yesterday. And for those next couple of nights, I was talking to them about Yahuwah, finding the right path or whatnot. And they was like, yeah, man, you the same guy just left out the day before you. He was speaking on the same thing. And I was like, yeah, man, this feel like the right way.
I didn't know that you wouldn't have had to test the Most High by ending up in jail or something as small as a speeding ticket, but this is how he calls us. When we are ignorant to his call and we don't answer it, the situation seems more and more extreme. And then we'll finally come to him and say, okay, now I get it. Now I hear you. But this is also goes back to what I was talking about in the last episode. That the Most High knows our endings. He knows exactly what we need. He knows exactly what it's going to take for us to listen to him, for us to come back to him. And all he's doing is putting or causing us to have stumbling blocks in our way until we seek him. How many times must we trip? How many times must we fall? How many times must we get snared before we come to him? And you have to imagine the people who did die or weren't able to come to this knowledge or come to this understanding of the truth. How many times have they fallen and still was ignorant to his call? Because he's calling everybody. Some of us are really sensitive to the call where we can just stop and say, you know what? Our ways isn't working. My way isn't working. What am I doing wrong? Obviously, it's not religion. Religion isn't saving me. How do you feel about being a Baptist Christian? Or how was your walk being a Baptist?
Being a Baptist, like, it just wasn't calling me. I wasn't really adapting to it. It wasn't grasping on to me. But soon as I found that Torah, it's been ease. I ain't gonna say it's because it ain't peace. I just been at ease, you know, with life, you know, being able to follow in the Ruach.
And that's the one thing we didn't have going into the Christian church. It's not being able to have that Ruach HaKodesh or finding it. We thought that dancing and falling on the ground and jumping and screaming was the Ruach. So when you didn't get it, or you didn't jump and you didn't fall down, you weren't screaming and sweating, you felt like, man, I guess I'm not chosen to be saved. So we all grew up into this whole churchianity and this church mentality that you had to fall on the ground to be saved or to feel the Holy Spirit. How was it with you when you were in church?
It was this simple fact that, like, okay, we gonna go to church. And then right out the church, we back to just the same old stuff. We gonna smoke and drink and whoop the whoop, just party like. Like, it wouldn't change. It wasn't nothing holding me, you know? So after that, I was just like, okay, that ain't for me. It just wasn't for me, period. Like, it didn't, when something is for you, it would show you, it would, you know, it would guide you, and it wasn't. So, you know, I just never could get back to it.
Did you have any vices or things you had to let go of in the world in order to continue following Yah?
Of course. Like, simply just not following the commands, you know, of Yahuwah. Like, partying, drinking. Like, I was a heavy drinker. I smoked earlier in my life. I had stopped cold turkey with smoking, mm-hmm. you know, and then. But with drinking, I loved to drink. Once I tried it for the first time, it was just that. So I let that go too. Like, everything I do that's not, you know, fought with according to y'all, that's not the way of y'all, I let it go. I've always had that cold turkey in me. I done always had it. People would tell me, like, bro, how you stop that? How you do that, bro? It's not for me. Everything, I can say mostly everything was really because I wanted to fit in, or, oh, I got to be drunk, or I got to be, like I said, it wasn't just clicking to me. Like,
I think that's understandable with everybody's cases, that once you wake up and you feel, again, that religion isn't saving you, what's the next thing you go to? And it's usually we go to New Age, we go to the Zodiac, we go to our own understanding of certain parts of scripture, and we hold on to that and create a completely different doctrine or a completely different gospel that pardons our sins. I think that's the most dangerous thing that we do. Once we come out of religion, we start thinking, okay, let's piece together our own religion. Let's do things by our own ways, our own doctrines. And you believe for so long and you feel like it's working because you feel like you do be blessed. But demons also bless you to keep you astray. They also bring you into where they want to bring you in, which is Luciferianism, which is straight out Satanism. That's why when it feels good to you, you think you're on the right track because it feels good to you. But every movement you're making is in contrary to the Torah. So how was it with you being able to navigate through leaving religion? And now may come into this new way spiritualism where you had an awakening, but you didn't know what the awakening was. So you just kind of went off trying to figure out what it truly was to you.
It's like it had already been calling me since I was younger. It had always, I was just, like I said, I was spiritually blinded. you know, by the world. But it wasn't hard for me. It wasn't hard for me at all. I can't. The walk itself is hard, but like getting into it, and because all the stuff we've been through, you know, so it was like, that ain't working, you know. So obviously it was the Ruach telling me, all right, now find this the path. This is the path. And I chose it. Once I ain't looked back.
And what was the biggest vice you felt you had to change about yourself? Or what are the things that's more important to you that you tried to stay away from?
I had already started practicing celibacy, mm-hmm. all that. So, you know, changing my diet, you know what I'm saying? It, what was crazy was when I changed my diet, folk were looking at me like, what? You ain't gonna eat what? You know, Thanksgiving, holidays, what? You ain't gonna eat this? I'm going from eating 5 plates to one maybe, or not even eat, because I'm drinking all day, but I might get a little piece of here and there. I'd rather fill myself with liquor.
And that's funny that you say that, because I feel like that's the most powerful combination that leads people astray is sex and food. If you don't have sex, you'll turn to food. If you have too much food, you won't turn to... It's just weird that these two things combined can really bring the downfall of your Ruach and of your physical health. If you're not eating the proper things, you're basically eating cancer with all the foods that they tried to poison us with. And then once you poison your body, then fornicating poison your Ruach. And I think Paul talks about how fornicating is the only sin that you sin against yourself. So you continually transgress the Torah, but you sin against yourself. That you really bring down your Ruach. You quench your Ruach every time you go fornicating. And at the time when we were in this world, we didn't feel guilt when we fornicated. But when we start learning about the truth and understanding his Torah, then you're more conscious about even your foods and the fact who you fornicate with or who you decide to be your partner. So being celibate is a big deal. And obviously watching what food you eat also is a big deal, because that all creates and builds up the temple of the Most High. And then once you clean your spirit out, you clean your flesh up, then you want to preach and share the word. Have you gotten into trying to share the word with others?
The problem with me is I be trying to like tell everybody, like trying to wake everybody up. Like when I'm out, because I walk in it. If I just start reading scriptures and I don't really know how to quote scripture, mm-hmm. it's just a walk for me. So, but when I hear somebody say something, I want to see what they know so we can, you know what I'm saying, say it, talk to each other about it. But most of the time, it'd be like, oh, no, I know I can't even talk to these people about it. Because anytime somebody bring up something about scriptures, I'd be wanting to talk about it. I'd be wanting, like, let's get to it. You know what I'm saying? That's the conversations I'd be wanting to have. And most people ain't ready for them, or most people just don't know the truth. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I don't even gonna waste my time with it.
But let's go back to celibacy, because I don't want to glaze over that as if it's not a big deal. And it's definitely a big deal when it comes to the man. So how was it navigating celibacy?
I had already practiced. I had 1 year. I went for a whole year without, you know. So what really set the tone was, I was just going through some stuff. So I'm like, man, I know I'm finna go call my chica. I know I'm finna get all this off my mind. And I went down and seen her. And, you know, we did our thing. And then I get back and I'm riding back up the road. Like, bro, ain't nothing changed. Like, nothing changed. So maybe it was the woman. Maybe it was the woman. But once I learned, you know, that is like a spiritual binding. Mm. It's a spiritual binding. And it was like, nah, you know what? I don't even want to go out here and be going to this girl, all our problems coming together and one me getting their problems on.
I think it was Pastor Darby who brought up the fact that when men sleep with women, it's the semen that goes into the women's bloodstream or goes into their mind. And then the more men that she has in her raw, she starts to take on the traits or personalities other people that she sleeps with. So it's really making women insane if they have too many partners. That you are accumulating demons on your flesh inside of you and outside of you, which is why in scripture, I think it's Jubilees, talks about how fornicating is the most despicable sin out of the, you know, to ever infiltrate the nation of Yasharel. That is uncleanness. And now you start to understand it, like you just said, like once you are binding or bonded to somebody through sex, even if through a situationship or a side piece, it you become almost you, your semen and your energy becomes what that woman is. So you really see a mirror. Since when we pour into women, we get what we pour in. Because when they start to pour out, they're going to pour out us. All the things that we traumatize them with, it comes out of them. So then we have an odd or in relationship or a toxic relationship because of that. It's because we're really pouring our negativity into our partner. And they're pouring it right back to us, especially when it's not a righteous relationship or a righteous situation. And if it's done through fornicating, that's exactly what you're talking about. You're talking about absorbing the other person's problems. She absorbs you, you absorb her. And then you become trauma bonded when the sex is really good and you put up with the toxicity of the relationship only because of the sex, only because of the flesh. How was it like, you know, you growing up in Atlanta?
It was really hard growing up too, though, because being not having a father, it was like, oh man, like I'm seeing everybody with their fathers and stuff. So I'm like, it was a hole in me. Like it was a hole in me a long time. Like that's why I think a lot of my issues that came from, because that hole, I didn't know how to feel that hole. Mm-hmm. And so that's the main part. That's why I got in the walk too, because Yahweh, the father, mm-hmm. the creator, you know what I'm saying? And once I gave myself to him and served him, that hole filled up.
And I say this most of the time, that if you do not make Yahuwah your father from not having a father, you would fall by the wayside. If you do not have Yahuwah or Yahusha as your husband or as your bridegroom, you are not going to know how to fulfill a righteous relationship. They provide the whole. They provide the filling. And a lot of us grew up in the world where we lacked something and we used the world to try to fill it, and it never can be filled. It can never be filled with Satan's devices. What about friendships or friends? Have you had to let them go because of your walk?
I had been separating from people that, you know, I was hanging around that I had been, like, I had been started doing that, you know, to where they calling me, but what's going on with you? Girl, I'm just in my own lane. You know what I'm saying? It ain't no hard feeling. They know it, but you know, that definitely was a part of it too. So,
I mean, I commend you. I mean, not everybody can admit that they're trying to fill a void or they're looking for this hole to fill. Because we all did, like I said before, we all did the legwork of trying to fill it with worldly things. So did you feel this every single day? Were you at least acknowledging the fact that something was missing out of your life that you can no longer fill with the world?
Every day, like I felt the hole in me, and then once I clinged on to Yahuwah, like once I clinged on to the Most High, it was filled, and it's still building up now. It's still building up to this day. This is like a big thing for me, you know what I'm saying? And for me to hear all these other people's stories and how they got on the path or on the walk to y'all and yours, and it's like, man, I ain't gonna even care. Me and your story is so similar. Only you had a two-parent household, but everything else with the clubs and the stuff like that, the drinking. I was like, look, this is my brother. This is my Aki right here. This is my brother. Like,
I understand. Like I said, this is the reason why I have guests on the show, because it shows me that we all have similar faults. We all have seen the similar stumbling blocks in our lives. That's how we relate to each other. That's how we become one in Yahusha, by acknowledging the fact that we all share the same downfall. We share the same sins. We just come from different backgrounds, different families. But these curses and the way we were living in this world, we all suffered. So no one's really different or made higher than the other, because we all been through this situation.
My real brothers, they're able to, I can just sit down and talk to them about my walk in scripture, in Yahuwah. And they just, you know what I'm saying? They listening. They ain't got into the word yet. But once we in the process of moving. So once we get there and I started showing them the feast day, because we didn't care about no holidays. Mm-hmm. We already was out of that, you know. Mm-hmm. From younger, growing up, it was a struggle anyway. So we'll have everything already before a Christmas come up or everything. Only thing, it was just being close to the family. That's what it was for us. But like I say, I'm going to get y'all on these feast days and these Sabbaths and Shabbats, you know what I'm saying? And they, you know, they like, all right. But I want them to be able to get in the word themselves. Like, that'll make it so much better, you know what I'm saying? So much easier.
I agree. And what is the age difference between your brothers?
So my older brother, he's only a year older than me. And then my younger brother, he's probably like, he's 18.
Okay.
So, and then he's into that, like, he's into that spiritual awakening thing I had before. And I was telling him, like, bro, that ain't it. But I'm going to let you, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to let you figure it out for yourself. But I'm going to keep on watering that seed that I keep putting in you. Because I tell them every day, like, bro, I'm glad I can talk to y'all about these things about Yahuwah and where we from, who I am, like, who we are, you know what I'm saying? So that's what make me, you know what I'm saying, happy about that, too. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and I got an older sister. I don't even know what religion she's in. I believe she's in Judaism right now. So I asked her the other day, I say, sir, are the laws and commands, do away with? Mm-hmm. And she said yes. And I was like, oh, man, I don't even want to.
It's so hard and it's difficult, too, because your siblings are going in one direction, you going in the other direction. And it's hard. I know it and understand. It's hard to even try to teach them about the word, because they already so ingrained in whatever doctrine they follow. Because like I said before, it makes sense to them. Once it's appeasing to their flesh, it's hard to separate their ruach from that. Have you gotten into dressing as an Israelite? Since you know you're an Israelite, amongst your family, amongst your friends, have you started dressing as an Israelite?
I was walking around with the fringes on. Then I seen the video. I went back and watched an episode of your. It was funny. It wasn't funny, but I went back and watched your episodes all the way back up. Mm-hmm. Somebody was saying somebody, you need to go watch the Fringes video. Mm-hmm. Man, when I tell you I watched that Fringes video and I burnt those things instantly. I just, I watched them out. I put so much lighter fluid on them because I was like, oh, man. Mm-hmm. And they was asking me, like, why you wear those? Why you wear those? And I was telling them Deuteronomy. I was telling them Deuteronomy 28:12 or whatever. And then, so they was like, oh, why you ain't wearing them no more? I had to let them know, like, hey, that wasn't the right way. That wasn't what they meant. That wasn't what it meant. And that's what I say I got a lot of more growing to do, because I'm, like I said, I'm just in the Torah. And I still got to get around these to the other book. I'm just waiting till I finish this tour and get around in those other books.
Yeah, because that's the most trickiest thing when this waking up is to how should we look? How should we dress? And we all went through the little Babylonian tassels only because we seen the IUIC brothers and those camps were those Babylonian fringes. And then I saw the same video and so I was like, this ain't right. So the only one I had, I just cut. I was just going to cut the bottom of it off and just wear the Paleo-Hebrew script of Yahuwah's name. And that was it. Like, and then obviously the zitzits, which is the cord that you wear, which is what the Orthodox or Judaism, they wear the white ones off the little shirt. Like I said, it's hard to start dressing like an Israelite because if you have a sense of fashion, you want it to look good. You don't want to look bummy. You don't want to look out of place. So I was really holding off on dressing as an Israelite with fringes or the hem of the border being blue until I actually found a real clothing company that was going to actually put time in to actually make it look good. But that's what this walk is. It's to be able to learn and grow and know that the things that you were doing when you came into this walk wasn't right. So you change it up a little bit and you have people around you to help you change it up and not make you feel like you're doing everything wrong, that you're really, you know, upsetting the Most High. And I think that's why he's building up our community to be gathered, not us gathering ourselves, but building up the community for us to gather amongst ourselves so we can learn. So it feels like a family. Would you agree?
It's like a family. It's like a family, the family that I ain't never had, or, you know, so it's lovely. Like, once I chose this path, or y'all chose it, however it went, I'm on it. Like, I'm with it out to the end.
I've asked this with all my guests I have on this show. When it comes to this world and the things and the direction this world is going or heading to, especially this country, how are you preparing for the end? How are you enduring? What is your plans? Do you have any plans, if all, of how you're going to sustain this economic collapse or whatever is going to happen in this country? Are you prepared?
I'm just riding it out. That's how much trust I got in y'all, man. I'm riding this thing. I'm riding it out. But I'm gonna tell you, we were getting the little jugs of water. We were getting those for a couple, and they just we stopped subscribing, and they just still sent us on. So we got it already stacked up. You know what I mean? And plus, I had did a long time outside, like I was actually out in nature. So I figured out how to make a fire, how to clean water, and stuff like that. I was out there for a good 6 months, you know, just out in the woods, had my tent, had my lights or whatever. So I already knew how to fish and stuff like that. So like I said, I'm just riding it out.
And that's exactly how I feel about it too. I'm just going to ride this thing right on out. I want a front row seat to see this place implode. I seen a couple of memes on Facebook, especially from a guest that I had on here before, who answered this post I seen. It talked about that we should leave America, that we should start looking for other countries to live in. And the guest that I had on the show, he answered and said, he said, we're not leaving until the Most High tells us to leave. He's going to bring us out. So people already getting shook and scared who are supposedly trusting in the Most High aren't really trusting in him. They're trusting in their movements. People got scared during COVID and were getting ready to leave the country. And all they had to do was weather the storm for 2 or 3 months. People were thrown and banned off airplanes because they didn't want to wear a mask for 2 to 3 months. All you had to do was endure it. And all you had to do is come out of this world to look at it and say, all right, I know this is fake. I know this is a false flag. But people who don't really have the Ruach HaKodesh, but have the spirit of fear, they're going to jump to conclusions. They're going to be rash in their decision making or double minded. And that's what puts people all over the place. It's not being able to know what's real and what's fake. But blessings to you, because you're actually learning outdoorsy skills, which is it's going to come, especially when you live in the woods in Atlanta. You're going to need that outdoorsman mentality, even if you don't necessarily going to be living in the woods, but you still need to know, say, if they're tampering with the water storage, the water supplies, that's all over the country. This is not putting on the news, but they're tampering and hacking, or so-called hacking, all of these water reservoir companies. So the water is going to be, it's going to be a fake man-made drought. That you're going to learn how, you're going to need to learn how to clean water. You're going to need to learn how to find different avenues and options for water in your house. That's why, like you, I started getting the water delivered. And I'm stocking up on water. And I go back to the movie, The Big Short. The Big Short movie, at the end, it said that Michael Burry invested in one commodity, and that was water. And that was in 2008.
This how much trust I'm putting in y'all. Like, I'm, like I said, I'm going all the way through it. I ain't nothing going to stop it. He can only stop me from getting off this path. Mm-hmm. It's not even my way no more. It's not my way no more. So, you know, I be catching up on the news, and you keep me a lot informed with stuff. You keep me a lot informed and everybody else, Truth Unedited. Mm-hmm. Like, so.
I feel like me and my brother Ron over at Truth Unedited is like a unspoken partnership, because a lot of people that I have on this show always talks about going between me and Truth Unedited, or me and Ron. It's like this unspoken partnership that we got going on, because sometimes the stuff that he talks about, I talk about almost at the same time, and sometimes the stuff that I talk about, I see him talk about it completely different. We rarely ever talk, but every so often we catch each other mirroring each other's work, and I like that. I feel like we're on one Ruach and one, you know, one mission to help waking up other followers or people who don't know they need Yah more than they need this Greek European Jesus Christ. But what did you have to do in this walk to listen to Yahuwah more once you have found him?
I had to isolate myself and start when I first learned about the Torah. I just, every day, it was like, I'm reading always, as far as I can go, hours reading it. And it was just like, yep, it was just locking up the change. It was just locking in. So it was like, so that's what really been, the Ruach really been guiding me. Like, and it been waiting to turn my light bulb, turn my light switch, because it was flickering throughout my life. And now it's tightening up and ready to shine brighter.
That is a great analogy. That is a great metaphor. That we are mere light bulbs. Some of us are screwed in tight. Some of us not so screwed in. And over time, the more you awaken, the more you follow his word, you start turning yourself around to him. And then, you know, how you put that light bulb in the first time, and then you twist it in, and it starts to flicker. That's exactly what you're talking about. And then more and more you turn and keep turning and keep turning, that light bulb will never go off. The light switch will never be flipped off. That's actually a cool analogy. I might steal that analogy later on in another teaching.
Distance yourself from the world. Get your mindset off the world. It was over with. Einstein money. Like, that's what I had. I was like, man, I got to find a way to get some money. Oh, I'm finna go have to do this and do that. And they was like, it ain't even working. It'll work for somebody else. But no, it'll work for everybody else. I'm like, man, so it gotta work. And I kept trying. Last time I was like, nah, man, it's over with for that. I'm done. Like, I've always had the wrong way throughout my life, or chose the wrong way, you know. And now this just so feels so right to me. It feels so right. It's just, I'm at ease with it, you know. I'm at ease, regardless of what come with it, regardless of if it's become harder. If it don't become harder, that mean I ain't doing something right, you know. So
Exactly. And like I said before, people think it's supposed to be a cakewalk. It's supposed to be easy. Once you turn to him, you're supposed to be blessed and never get tested by spirits, never get tested by people that Satan is using around you, the weakest around you, to bring you down. It's a constant, ongoing struggle, and not a struggle against necessarily the physicality of having to go to war and push through and fight every single day, but it's mostly an emotional or spiritually draining experience over time, because you're being tested within your Ruach. And you need to be tested in order to grow strong. So if you feel like everything is a cakewalk, are you truly following the proper way? If you're not being tested, I wouldn't say every single day, but if you feel like you're not being tested in certain areas that you are obviously weak in, and you're not going into the endurance of that, of trying to fight against things that you are weak in, then you're not following the proper way. It's not supposed to be hard, but it also not supposed to be a cakewalk either. What do you do for work?
I'm a independent contractor.
That means you do pretty much everything?
I mean, I could do like in all type of work, but right now I'm into landscaping.
Okay.
I'm into landscaping right now. So that's what I feel like y'all put me in that position too. Mm-hmm. Like he put me in that position because being an independent contractor, like, it ain't, I can take this day off, or I can, you know what I'm saying? As long as the work done by this certain date.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So he gave that to me. And
to refer back to Yitzchak or Isaac's situation, the Most High knew that Isaac's name was going to be written on the heavenly tablets before he even came into this earth. So the Most High knows exactly what your end will be. He knows that there's a time where you're going to want to search him, and he's going to put you in a position so you continue your searching without having a stumbling block, without having a burden over your shoulder. And especially when it comes to a job. Like, you thinking like, oh, I don't know where I'm going to work. I don't know how I'm going to make money. Obviously, I can't make money like all these other people, that they have the avenue and the options and the way to make money their way. But I can't do it because now I'm being called. So the Most High is going to put me in a situation where I can still search him and participate in his feast days. And all I have to do is be willing to give up my own way and to trust to him. That's exactly what you're saying, which is exactly what I've been preaching on, especially when it comes to the prophets and Jacob or Yaakov and the 12 tribes, is all of them having to give up their way and seeking the Most High and getting opportunities that aren't afforded to everybody because not everybody is following his way. So we are set apart, and he's going to make sure that we are set apart and following him without the burdens of this world becoming an issue for us. How are you with the prophets in scripture? Do you agree?
It's beautiful to listen to, you know, the prophets and their stories and how they didn't want to follow y'all, you know, they didn't want to follow the Most High ways. And like, this, I was doing the same thing they were doing, didn't want to follow, but we got a kingdom, we got a paradise. We can always have joy and be happy. Yeah, let me take that. So that's why I pray every night.
Exactly. Because why would you want anything else? If we understand scripture and revelation, but we also have to understand the paradise. We have to understand what it looks like. Obviously, we can read in Revelation about how New Jerusalem and New Earth is going to look. But there's a paradise that's talked about in Ezra and Baruch that is, you can't fathom what will happen to us if we endure these times. And once you read enough of what paradise is supposed to look like and how we are supposed to be so free and to run like sparks across the sky and be able to actually live like how angels, you know, lived before the fall, why would you want this paradise? Why would you want man's paradise? Because obviously none of us are trust fund kids. None of us are like a part of the Rothschild dynasty. Why would we want this paradise? We should want it to come. We should want their paradise to come to an end so we can get to ours. And if you want that paradise, if you show diligently in your faith and your works that you want Yahuwah's paradise, he'll start closing doors right in front of your face. As long as you don't be like, oh, all right, why is this closing? I'm being rejected. No. You're being protected. You're not being rejected. You're being protected. Would you agree?
Yeah. It was definitely y'all closing doors, like, because I had, like, at the beginning of the year, that's when I, you know, I was like, Yahuwah got it, Yahuwah the way. And I had the job, but ain't go as planned. So, and plus, I like being outside.
And ain't nothing wrong with that, being in y'all's creations. I'm pretty sure most of you who have office jobs would love just to be working outside and away from people, especially when you're going through your isolation, because nothing disturbs your Ruach disturbs your patience more than people you have to work with who are still stuck and glued into this world. It's really like the Matrix. And if Neo had to go going from outside to knowing the awakening and had to be forced to fake going to work and working a job, knowing that he's around people who are not unplugged. I knew that they should have showed that part in that movie. They should have made a scene where he knew exactly who Morpheus was. He knew exactly what Trinity was, and he was bouncing between two worlds for a time, and he had to go back to work and not leave his work. You would have just seen him being so frustrated with the people he was working with. So I understand the fact that you would want to be outside, especially during this time, because people's conscience is seared like a hot iron. They're going into the stupor that the Most High talks about, the state of unconsciousness and not being self-aware. So you wouldn't want to be around people at this point. So take us on home with the final word.
Oh, man, just putting your trust in y'all. Just putting your trust in the words. Like, definitely just going with it. Don't hesitate on when he call you. Don't hesitate on it. Just go with it, because that's my way. It's his way, but the way I'm following, you know, I'm a servant of him. Mm. So.
That's a good note to end on.
I'm a servant.
I appreciate you coming on. I know you hit me up saying, hey, you got to share your story. And I'm glad to get to hear another side of this walk that most people don't get to hear, because we all come from humble beginnings and different paths and different walks in life. So it's good to hear another side of it.
Right, right. And I thank you for the opportunity, man. I thank you, my brother. You know, it definitely was a good one, man. It's definitely, I was a little, but I'm good. So, man, Shalom, man. Peace and blessings to you, your family, man.
And thanks. You too, my brother. Keep following that walk.
And next week, I'm going to talk about these so-called bomb threats, Kanye West video bomb. It's just weird timing that all these situations are these plans are formulating of this so-called attack that's supposed to happen in America, that he's either going to cause a blackout or the power grid going down or the water stoppage or something. Whatever is coming after Super Bowl, because that's where they want to implement their rituals. That's what they want to show you what's going to come, is the whole state of chaos. So that's what's going to happen. It's going to happen after February, or it could happen during the inauguration. It could be a leading up to that. We don't know yet, but we know it's going to be racial. We know it's going to be a psyop. We know it's going to be false flags from now until we get to the Super Bowl. So I'll talk about that more next week.